escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host...
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:05 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always. Gorgeous weekend here in Western New York. Hope you're having a great one, and we've got a fun show ahead of us this morning. Lots going on. You've got NASCAR in Michigan. We'll have the race right here on WGR later this afternoon for the Michigan 400 coming up later today. The Firekeepers Casino 400, to be correct with the title sponsor. So you've got Michigan, you've got IndyCar. They were in action in Texas last night. Scott Dixon picking up the win there. NHRA is in Virginia, and you got F1 just north of the border. They're up in Montreal for the Canadian Grand Prix. So that's coming up this afternoon. So lots of racing from the big national and international series, and also been a busy weekend for the local tracks. Lots going on. You have the Race of Champions Modified Series at Lake Erie Speedway last night. You've got Tony Stewart in the area. He was down at State Line last night. He's at Weedsport tonight. And this weekend, this coming Friday, you've got the World of Outlaw Late Models coming back to the area. They're going to be at the State Line Speedway on Thursday. And Friday night, they're going to make their return to the Ransomville Speedway for the first time in 13 years. And we're going to talk to one of their drivers in today's program. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Shane Clanton, the Georgia Bulldog, former series champ, will join us at 11:35. Of course, this weekend, one of the biggest of the year in dirt late model racing with the Dream at the Eldora Speedway, the 24th edition of that race, one of the biggest races on the dirt late model calendar every year. And Scott Bloomquist picked up the win in that event yesterday. Shane made the A-Main, started fourth, but did not fare so well. But we'll talk to Shane. He was one of the few drivers that ran the only other World of Outlaw late model event at Ransomville 13 years ago back in 2005 that was won by Scott Bloomquist. He'll likely be one of the few in the field this Friday that was at that race. So we'll talk to Shane. One of the other guys that might be in that event will be that ran that event in 2005 that'll be in the event this Friday too will be Rick Eckert. I know if you were at Ransomville on Friday, I said Rick Eckert would be on the show today, but the folks from the World of Outlaw Late Models making a late audible last night and giving us Shane Clanton instead, which is perfectly fine, but just wanted to point that out. Yes, I did mention for those of you that Ransomville on Friday, I thought we're going to have Rick Eckert this morning, but it'll be Shane Clanton joining us. Also, coming up in about 7 minutes, doing something a little bit different. And it's one of those things where I've been doing the show, oh, I don't know, 11, 12 years. It's been a while. I get one of these guilty pleasures, one of these just, this is someone I want to have on the show, and it's a very loose association of motorsports, but we're going to do it anyway. If you are a wrestling fan and you have heard of the Something to Wrestle With podcast with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, it is a great listen if you're a wrestling fan. Even if you're not a current wrestling fan, but you grew up in the 80s and 90s watching wrestling, it is a great listen to get some great behind-the-scenes stories. Well, Conrad Thompson is going to join us on the show today in about 7 minutes. And there are racing connections. That's why I figured I'd pull the trigger on this and get Conrad on the show, because there are a couple of racing connections. For one, the Something to Wrestle With podcast sponsored Ryan Sieg's Xfinity Series car yesterday at Michigan. So there was I got to check off one box there. And then they just did an episode about the wrestler Bob Holly. Now, if you weren't following WWF wrestling in the mid-1990s, then you might not remember, but Bob Holly's first gimmick or character when he came in to the WWF was that of a race car driver, Sparky Plug, Thurman Sparky Plug, or eventually he became Spark Plug Bob Holly. Not only did Bob Holly have that gimmick, that character, he lived that gimmick because he also drove race cars, and he's raced late models down south. So they talked about that on the Bob Holly podcast. So there's the connection of racing. I was looking for an in, and I found it. So we're going to talk to Conrad Thompson here about 6 minutes. If you're not a wrestling fan, bear with us this morning. Like I said, I've done this show so long, I think I get one of these, just someone I want to talk to, and I found a way to tie it into the show, so we're going to make it happen. But phone lines are open here off the bat here, 803-0551, 888-550-2550, and we do have that NASCAR race to look forward to today, the Fire Keepers Casino 400 at Michigan, as Kyle Larson going for his fourth straight win at the Michigan International Speedway. He won both races there last year and won the August race in 2016 at Michigan. So this would be four in a row, and he would be just the second driver in Michigan Speedway history to win four straight cup races. Bill Elliott did it back in the 1980s when Elliott just dominated things out there in the Irish Hills of Michigan. But Larson looking for his fourth in a row, and he could really use a win to jumpstart his season and especially help out all the Chevrolet teams that have struggled at times this year. But Kyle's been one of the better Chevy cars this year. And unfortunately, qualifying did not go so well for Kyle. He'll roll off 26th today in the Credit One Bank Chevrolet for Chip Ganassi Racing. So he is deep in the field. Kurt Busch is on the pull as the Ford strong in qualifying as they took 8 out of the top 10 spots. It's Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski in the front row. Kyle Busch there in third, Kevin Harvick fourth, Joey Logano, Eric Almirola in row three, Ricky Stenhouse, Eric Jones in row four, Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin round out the top 10 starters. Ryan Newman's your first Chevy in the starting grid. He rolls off 11th today alongside Clint Bowyer. Chase Elliott, William Byron, the first two Hendrick Chevys, they roll off 13th and 14th today. Martin Truex coming off the win last weekend at Pocono, he goes off 17th. Jimmy Johnson also struggling qualifying, he is 20th. Daniel Suarez, 22nd. As we said, Kyle Larson, 26th. Bubba Wallace rolling off 28th today. Some of the bigger names in the field this afternoon. Also, Casey Kane starting 29th. But as we get in now here to the summer stretch, and this is always an interesting part of the schedule. You go from Pocono to Michigan. You got a week off next week. But then you go to Sonoma, Sears Point. What is it now these days? Sonoma, Sears Point, and Finian. I think it's back to Sonoma. Sonoma, and then, of course, Daytona. And then you get, you know, into the other summer races, of course, going back to July, going to Chicago in July and some other tracks, as we get into the later stage of the regular season here in the Cup Series. But definitely a trend starting to develop with, the points. As we said, you know, things are going to be kind of locked in here for the drivers in playoff contention. You might see a little bit of jostling towards the bottom of the top 16, but not only the playoff field set, but for a lot of people, the championship four is almost set. Everybody at this point, and I don't blame them, are resigning themselves to three out of the four drivers at Homestead are going to be Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Martin Truex, who, of course, got his second win of the year at Pocono last week. So, I mean, the way people have been talking this week, it's those three guys. They are the show this year, and it's, you know, it's great. I think it's better to see a handful of drivers win all the races versus getting 16 different winners in the regular season. I think it's better when it's you got a lot of guy, you got a handful of big names going at it for all the victories each week. I think it's better than you know, 16 different winners. But it's been Kyle and Kevin, of course, for their 9 wins. But now Truex has got 2, and Truex is heating up. I mean, he was good earlier in the year. I mean, he struggled at Daytona and Atlanta, but then he goes. He struggled at Daytona, and then he goes, you know, 5 straight top 5 finishes, including getting a win at Fontana. But then some trouble the next four races, you know, 37th at Texas, 30th at Bristol, 14th at Richmond, 26th at Talladega, but now he's back on a little bit of a hot streak here. Fourth at Dover, then back-to-back runner-up finishes at Kansas and Charlotte, and now a win at Pocono. So, I mean, they've had some just bad luck with these crashes this year, so they haven't been able to bank the playoff points and the top finishes like they did last year while en route to the championship. But really, you take out that four race hiccup, and Truex is on is showing some similar performances to what he did last year on his way to the championship, and he's got 13 playoff points now, which is about half of what Harvick and Busch each have. They both have 25 coming into today. But really, if Truex continues to stay out of trouble here in the second half of the regular season with 12 races to go, I mean, you could see him now likely being right up there with Busch and Harvick. So the big question is, who's that fourth driver, of course, that's going to be the fourth going in that could maybe join these guys in Homestead? And it's still a long season, but like I said, a lot of talk this week about the Busch, Harvick, and Truex show here so far in 2018. And, you know, if they keep their pace up, they're going to lock up enough playoff points where they're going to be pretty good shoe-ins for the Homestead finale. So who's that fourth driver? Is it Joey Logano? Is it Brad Keselowski? Clint Bowyer? You know, those are some of the other guys near the top. Denny Hamlin, you got to take a look at. He's been in a couple of these championship fours in Homestead. Can Kyle Larson win some races and do something? And I mean, you can't even count out Jimmy Johnson despite their struggles to this point. So right now, my money is on Logano. I mean, just looking at the standings, he's right up there with these guys in points. He's third in points. He's just three back of Harvick, and he's about 45 or so up on Martin Truex. So Joey's been the consistent guy this year compared to Truex and Harvick. Either they've run well or they've kind of crashed out or had mechanical difficulties, whereas Logano, I think, is just, you know, he hasn't really missed a beat this year. And so that's why he is third in points coming out of this year, but hasn't had the bad finishes. He hasn't finished worse than 22nd, which he did at Charlotte. But you look at the rest of his work, it's all top 10s outside of Dover and Phoenix, of course. But, you know, Joey's been just as consistent as your Harvicks and Bushes and Truexes. He just doesn't have the number of wins. So you look at the top four, and I mean, currently in points, and it wouldn't surprise me if those guys all make their way to Homestead. But it is a long season, still plenty of time to go. Is there someone else that you think that could maybe break into this top four and maybe make a bid for the championship as the season goes on? I mean, cases can be made for some of the other names I mentioned. You know, Brad Keselowski still looking for a win this year, but Penske and a Ford, that team has been very strong this year, as of course you see with his teammate Joey Logano. So you've got that there. I think if Larson, you know, maybe he can get that fourth straight win at Michigan today, that might be jumping up in the standings. Jumping up in the standings to maybe, you know, make a bid here also late in the season for the 42 team, as they've shown some strength. And the Chevrolet cars getting stronger here. I mean, Jamie McMurray talked about that they hope to see some improvement here coming out of Charlotte, and they're starting to get a little bit better finishes out of the Chevrolet camp. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Of course, NASCAR's other the rest of their top three national series in action this weekend. The Truck Series was in action Friday night at the Texas Motor Speedway, and Stuart Friesen got his first career pull on pavement and had a great race. Finished second, though, to Johnny Sauter. Couldn't catch Sauter on one last green flag run there after a late race caution, but still won a stage one stage one, finished second in stage two. He led 13 laps and a strong run for Stuart Friesen, and he continues to really impress everybody. I think they're in the Truck Series, their performance, I mean, not only we knew we could do stuff on dirt. We know, you know, we expected him to have that great run last year at Eldora. But, you know, last year they struggled out of the box and took some weeks off. But after they came back, the dramatic shift in average finish from how he started the year, versus the second half of the year after they took that break, and showed significant improvement. And luckily, is definitely carried over into this year. And Stewart had a great run on Friday night in the Truck Series race there at the Texas Motor Speedway as they're kind of running in connection with the IndyCar race, which was last night. And then you have the Xfinity Series. They ran yesterday at Michigan. Austin Dillon got the win. It was a rain-shortened race, and Austin lucked out there when the final caution flew for the rain. He was leading just ahead of his teammate, Daniel Hemric. He got the win. Dillon, then Hemric, Custer. Cole Custer was third, Ryan Reed fourth, Paul Menard in fifth. Then you had Kyle Busch, Tyler Reddick, Kevin Harvick, Justin Allgaier, Ryan Truex rounding out the top ten. And I saw a funny column this morning from Nick Bromberg, who is, I don't know, he's the master of snark on Twitter. He's great at pointing out, you know, whenever there's a funny mistake out of like the NASCAR official social media account. And I love Nick. We've had him on the show a couple of times, but he had a great column yesterday after the Xfinity Series race, and asking the question, is Austin Dillon the luckiest driver at NASCAR? And he kind of played it out. His last six wins in either the Cup Series or the Xfinity Series combined have been wins he's kind of lucked into. And he kind of he spells it all out. If you go back to the Xfinity Series race at Auto Club in March of 2016, Kyle Busch had dominated the race, led 133 of 150 laps, but got a flat tire on the last lap. Daniel Suarez took the lead. He runs out of fuel. That allows Dillon to win on the last lap. He only leads the final lap and gets the win. Then you fast forward to Bristol in August of 2016, and Austin was running fourth behind Brad Keselowski and Kyle Busch, who got together while racing for the lead. Ty Dillon, his brother, running third, also gets involved in the incident. That allows Austin Dillon to take over the lead and leads just the final four laps to win. Fast forward to 2017, his first Cup win, of course, at Charlotte Motor Speedway in the Coca-Cola 600. That was a fuel mileage race, and he lucked out and only needed to lead two laps to get his first Cup Series win. Then you go to this year's Daytona 500. Again, kind of not part of the picture for most of the race, but many of the top guys crashed out. And then there he is on the last lap, taking Eric Almirola out to get the win in the Daytona 500. And then yesterday, led a little bit more. I think he led 13 laps instead of, you know, maybe just the last couple. But then Austin, you know, lucks out there with the rain falling late in the race with 91 laps in the books. And he's declared the winner. So I thought it was an interesting study in statistics by Nick Bromberg. But, you know, Austin Dillon is a little more lucky than good, it seems like, in the last couple of years when you look at his last five, six wins in either Cup Series or Xfinity Series competition. I tweeted the link out if you want to go back and take a look at that in detail. And there's highlights from each race there on our Twitter account, FastTrack550. But I know he's won. I mean, he's won a Camper World. He's a Camper World Truck Series and Xfinity Series champion. So I mean, he's somewhat earned his place in the sport where he is currently. But it also helps that he's, you know, Richard Childress's grandson, and that also has helped him get to where he is today. But I find it funny that Dillon has kind of just gotten so lucky here. And then, you know, you look at his wife, too. And he's just one lucky guy, I guess you could say. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Trying to get in touch with Conrad Thompson here this morning, but is having some difficulties reaching him. So we press on here at 803-0551. 888-550-2550 as the NASCAR Cup Series in action today at Michigan. Formula One is up in Canada Day. Sebastian Vettel winning the pole for that race, and that'll be coming up. I think that one is on ABC this afternoon if you want to catch that one. And then you've got, as I said, NHRA in Virginia and IndyCar last night at the Texas Motor Speedway. And it's what a weird the schedule. I mean, I know, I'm sure when IndyCar came up with the schedule, they want to keep the momentum going, of course, out of the Indianapolis 500. So you get the Indy 500, you get then right out of that, you go to Belle Isle for the double, and then to Texas. So they get all these races in a row. But what just a grueling stretch here in the middle of the season. Four races in 3 weeks. You've got your biggest race of the year. You've got a doubleheader weekend on a street course. And then you've got a big, fast mile and a half that can tear up a lot of equipment. We saw some crashes last night. It was a little bit better. A lot of reports saying the aero package this year, you know, making the racing a little better. And they felt a little bit safer behind the wheel than some in recent years on these big, fast mile and a halves. But it was Scott Dixon getting the win last night, and Scott moves into third all-time. He takes over the solo third place all-time on the all-time win list in IndyCar, and now he's behind just Mario Andretti and AJ Foyt. How about that? Scott Dixon, you know, moving up to third all-time in the list, breaking the tie that he held for third, now with 43 career wins as he dominated last night at the Texas Motor Speedway. And, you know, just showing his, as he is, you know, he and Will Power, just kind of the two greatest of this current generation here in IndyCar. But Dixon getting the win, led 119 laps last night. Simon Pagenaud led a little bit, finished second. Alexander Rossi, again, a very exciting night for him. He was challenging Pagenaud. They had a great battle for second late in the race, but had to come home third. James Hinchcliffe bouncing back after, you know, his unfortunate, you know, qualifying effort at Indy, and then the struggles at Detroit last week, finishing fourth. Ryan Hunter-Reay rounding out the top five, then Graham Rahal, Takuma Sato, Sebastian Bourdais, Ed Jones, and Charlie Kimball rounding out the top 10 last night at Texas. But again, the big point shakeup here in just this four race stretch, you know, four races in three weeks, is now Dixon is your leader. As you know, he got a win at Belle Isle and now a win at Texas, and now he's up ahead of Alexander Rossi by 23. Will Power, despite his Indy win, is back to third in the standings as he crashed out of the race last night at Texas. He got caught up with Zachary Clayman DeMello late in the race. That took him out of contention and cost him the points lead. He's now back to third, and he's 46 behind Dixon. And then you got Hunter-Reay and Newgarden rounding out the top five. Graham Rahal hanging in there in sixth with 250, just 39 back in Newgarden. But you still see, you know, you see now the top teams kind of rising to the top here. You know, going into, I think, the Indy 500, we had five different teams represented in the top five. But now, you know, the Rahal cars and the Schmidt-Peterson cars have struggled here the last couple of weeks. And now it's Ganassi, Andretti, and Penske all in the top five now, as you've got Dixon, of course, the one Ganassi car in the top five, Rossi and Hunter-Reay, the two Andretti cars, and Power and Newgarden, the two Penske cars here in the top five. So it's amazing how much can change in just this three-week stretch. But it is a jam-packed schedule for the IndyCar folks. Now they've got a few weeks off. They go to Road America in 2 weeks. But what a wild stretch here over the last 3 weeks for the IndyCar series. Well, unfortunately, we couldn't get to Conrad Thompson. Hopefully, we can still try and get with him before the top of the hour. I apologize. But we will come back. When we get back, we'll talk to Shane Clanton from the World of Outlaw Late Model Series as they return to the Western New York area this coming week with stops at the State Line Speedway on Thursday and, of course, a big return to the Ransomville Speedway on Friday. That's coming up next here on Fast Track.
Hi, this is Jamie McMurray, driver of the number one McDonald Chevy SS. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
11:31 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track. Phone lines open here at 803-0551, 888-552-550. One of the things we talk about there in the opening segment. You know, coming off Martin Truex now getting his second win of the year, and now a lot of people talking about the possibility that the final four for the championship in Homestead could be Martin Truex, Kevin Harvick, and Kyle Busch, as those three drivers now have won 11 out of the first 14 races this year, and I fully agree with that, and I'd be all for that. I think it'd be great to see a championship race with those three, but who would be driver number four? Would it be Joey Logano? Could it be Brad Keselowski, Kyle Larson, Jimmy Johnson? Who would be your final member of that championship four, if it came to fruition? Of course, a lot of things could possibly happen between now and the rest of the regular season and then into the playoffs too, of course. But I mean, I'd sign up for those three racing for the championship in the final race, as they are probably the three best in the business right now when it comes to the Cup Series. And they've certainly been flexing their muscles here in 2018. The Cup Series is in Michigan. We'll have the race today here on WGR. Coverage starts at about 1 o'clock, courtesy of the Motor Racing Network, the Firekeeper Casinos 400, as Kurt Busch will be on the pole for today's race. Brad Keselowski starts alongside on the front row. Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick will share row number two, while Martin Truex rolls off in 17th, a big name struggling in qualifying on Friday, and Kyle Larson goes for his fourth straight win, but he'll have to do it from the 26th starting position, as he was one of the other ones that struggled in qualifying. But man, look at the pole speeds, over 200 miles an hour pole speed, all 11 out of the top 11 all were above 200 miles an hour. I thought it was a pretty good race yesterday for the Xfinity Series. They had the, you know, the restrictor plate package and the you know, the slim down aero package to try and slow these cars down, and I thought it made for some pretty good racing, seeing them fan out three and four wide. And I would like to see more of that to continue to slow these cars down and work with these aero packages to try and improve the product, because just these cars get too fast and it's hard for them to race and put on a good show, I think, when they're consistently running above 200 miles an hour. 803-0551, 888-552-550. We'll be talking to Shane Clanton from the World of Outlaw Late Model Series coming up here in just a minute, as they'll be at the State Line Speedway in Bustine, New York, down by the state border there near Jamestown on Thursday, and Ransomville on Friday night. State Line Speedway hosted the All-Star Sprint Car Circuit of Champions last night, and Tony Stewart was there. Tony owns the All-Star Series, and he has kind of been on this New York swing, and he is at the Weed Sports Speedway tonight. Over in central New York, but Carmen Macedo from California got the win in the A-Main over Greg Hodnett. Chad Kemenaw, Paul McMahon, and Tony Stewart rounded out the top five in the A-Main last night at State Line. Jack Hodenschial, Danny Dietrich, Dave Blaney, who of course is Ryan's dad, Parker Price Miller, and Cale Conley round out the top 10. So that was a star-studded sprint car race last night for the All-Star Circuit of Champions at the State Line Speedway. And Thursday, they host the World of Outlaw Late Models, and then they're off to Ransomville on Friday night. And joining us on the AT&T Hotline is former series champion Shane Clanton, joins us on the line, the Georgia Bulldog. Shane, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Doing well. I'm sure you're pretty worn out. You've had a very busy weekend, sir, with running the Dream there at Eldora, and you had to deal with some rain and some racing. Just tell us real quick, how'd your weekend go at Eldora?
Oh, not too bad. We made the race for one. That's a thing itself.
But, yep.
We run sixth in Thursday's program and then run second in Friday's program. And then we had a little bad luck. And we messed the shock or something up in the feature on Saturday and got in the fence, tore the body up a little bit, and just parked it.
Is the Dream, is that, I follow the modifieds up here more in Western New York. So I'm not in tune with late model racing as much as some people, but where does the Dream rank on the biggest late model races on your schedule every year?
It is the biggest by far. Pays the most money. Is that the biggest facility that we go to? But and to win it, it's something special.
Yeah, it's certainly a huge event, and I mean anything at Eldora is big, and it was certainly a good weekend down there at the Eldora Speedway, but a little trouble for you there with coming home 25th in the A-Main, but despite starting up front. Of course, now you're headed up here to Western New York with State Line and Ransomville on Thursday and Friday, and it's kind of almost like a home track. You're from Georgia, but you've got family up here this way, and so this is a little bit of a homecoming for you.
It is. My father-in-law lives 15 minutes from State Line, so hopefully we can go repeat. Like I think the last time I was there, I won, so hopefully we can go and win again.
And then you'll be at Ransomville on Friday, and this will be the first time the World of Outlaw Late Models have been there since 2005. I know you've run a whole lot of races since then, but do you remember anything from the last time you ran at Ransomville and finished fourth there back in 2005?
I do. I mean, that's what we thought. We had a pretty good race that night, thought we would come back, but I don't know if the management or whatever changed hands a couple times or no, so we're excited to come back. The race was pretty good that night, I can remember. It's a little treacherous getting in turn one. That wall sticks out there, but just stay away from the wall, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It is a challenging racetrack. It'll be a little bit different. I know they've made a couple tweaks to the facility last year to suit the sprint cars, but it should be somewhat familiar when you come back on Friday night. You come into this weekend or this week with the stops up here Thursday and Friday, fourth in points, still looking for your first A-Main win of the season, but you got 10 top tens and 12 starts. How would you describe your start of your season with the World of Outlaw Late Models?
It's not bad, just we haven't got that win yet. We run second, and the closest second margin to history, I think, so far. So we felt like we could have got that win that night in Mississippi, but we come up a little short. We we're definitely gaining on it. We keep running top fives and the wins will come. Just got to tweak on our car a little bit more and just trying to make it better.
The competition real stiff this year. I mean, Brandon Shepherd, of course, he dominated last year. This year, it's kind of been feast or famine for Brandon with three wins, and now you've got, you know, Chris Madden and Mike Marlar just ahead of him in the standings and you as well. I mean, it seems like it's going to be a long season and a great battle for the championship this year when you guys get to the World Finals in Charlotte.
I think it is. It's shaped up that way anyway.
Yep.
There's four of us that are pretty close in the points, and if you look, we're all running close somewhat together on the racetrack every weekend. Just they've lucked up, got them a couple wins that I hadn't, but maybe we can turn it around this weekend and get a couple wins and stretch out some or catch them in points a little bit, I guess.
You guys run a lot of races. I mean, not only do you follow the World of Outlaws, but you know, there's a lot of other unsanctioned events and other series around the country. So you've run just about everywhere. If you had to pick a schedule though, what would be some of your favorite tracks that you'd want to put on that schedule that you do well at and you like to race at every year?
The schedule that we have now with the World Outlaws, I like just about all the tracks that we go to. There's a couple that we could leave off, I guess, but. For the most part, Eldor and Charlotte and them places that are big and fast. We're going to go over to Mansfield, Ohio for the big race later on in July. Or August, I'm sorry. But other than that, there's just our home track, Dixie and Rome Speedway. We like going there. And just do as anywhere you can race on, we like going to.
Very good. Well, Shane, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm a track announcer at Ransomville, so I'll be there on Friday night, and I'll be looking forward to seeing Rick Eshelman up there in the tower. But looking forward to seeing you guys come back to the Big R on Friday night, and best of luck at State Line on Thursday and Ransomville on Friday and the rest of the season. Thank you for the time this morning.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, Shane Clanton, the Georgia Bulldog. He'll be at State Line on Thursday and the Big R on Friday. All right, we're calling a live audible here, Mike. Conrad Thompson's going to join us at 11:45, so after the break. So real quick, Mike, can we squeeze the local racing roundup? As soon as you're ready, just fire it up.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
All right, we're going to get right into it. Friday night, the Big R, Ransomville Speedway. Let's go back to Thursday. Excuse me, Thursday night, we had a couple of races. Lancaster Speedway, Patrick Emmerling won both of the sportsman features. Andy Crime picked up the win in the street stocks, and Charles Palmer got a first career win in the four cylinders. Genesee Speedway on Thursday night, James Henry conquered the Grit Sportsman Tour event, holding off Ricky Newton for most of the race, but then Ricky spun out late in the race, so Adam Leslie finished second, James Michael Friesen third, then Brad Rouse, and then Newton. The Crate Late Models, Bill Holmes got the win over Beamer, Gazzardi, and John Waters. Byron DeWitt got the win in the street stocks. And then it was Chris Leone in the mini stocks. Now let's go to Friday and the Big R Ransomville. And what a modified race this was. One of the best I've seen in the years that I've worked there. As Pete Bicknell held off a hard-charging, high-riding Ryan Soucy to get the win by 44 thousandths of a second. Eric Rudolph nipped Ricky Rickner for third place by 0.02 of a second. It was a phenomenal race. Garrison Krentz got his first ever sportsman win. Chris DeZomba, another street stock win. Chad Desso, four bangers. Orville Harris got a first career novice sportsman win. Again, this Friday night, World of Outlaw late models, modifieds, and sportsmen. That is it. That's the three division show this Friday at Ransomville. That is going to be a really good one. Last night's action, Holland Speedway, the track at Hillside, Sean Nye in the Sportsman, Josh Hathaway in the Street Stocks, Kenny Heenan in the Four Cylinders, and Marty Hughes in the Figure Eights. Last night at the Lake Erie Speedway, the Race of Champions Modified Series. Who else? Matt Hirschman getting another win there at Lake Erie. He held off a hard-charging Patrick Emmerling there all the way to the finish. And Andy Jankowiak, he was the hard charger of the night. He came from 16th to finish third. The Race of Champions late models, Roy Hayes coming up from down south, beating fellow North Carolina resident Jarek Johnson for the win. Dave Russell rounded out the top three there. Tommy Catalano got his first ever outdoor TQ midget win after getting by Dave Wallaber late in the race, and Jake Albright won the Midwest Compact Series race, and that was a great night at Lake Erie. 25 modifieds, a standout field for a round two of the 2018 Race of Champions Modified Series. Lancaster Dragway Friday night. Accidentally looked this over Friday. Jeff Subchinsky got the win in top eight. Brian Hitchcock in top ET. Dale Eckert in mod. Angelo Salemi in bikes and sleds. And Eddie Semlich getting the win in Tread City Tire Street there at Lancaster on Friday. Coming up this Saturday night at Lancaster, they've got a 75-lap race for their sportsman, the Joe Riley Sportsman SummerSlam, coming up on Saturday night. And you got Humberstone Speedway in action this evening. So we've moved that up. Now we can step aside here. We come back. We will talk to Conrad Thompson from Something to Wrestle With when we wrap up this edition of Fast Track here on WGR. /11:47 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track. And, well, we got him here, and he's going to join us now on the AT&T hotline from the Something to Wrestle With podcast with Bruce Pritchard. You can also find him on the WWE Network with Something Else to Wrestle With. Conrad Thompson joins us on the line. Conrad is Dave Buchanan in Buffalo. Good morning. Thank you for making time for us this morning.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on. Sorry I'm running late. We taped our next WWE episode this morning, and it ran over. And I'm behind this morning, so my apologies to you.
That is all right. I, as they say in the business, I am marking out right now, Conrad.
Man, I am too. It's an honor to be on your show. You know, I'm just a wrestling fan, so the idea that I get to be invited to stuff like this is pretty doggone cool, man. Thanks for having me.
Let's get to the reason why I was able to make this racing connection. Well, I mean, this is my show, so I can have on anybody I want, but I try and make it connected to racing. And one of those reasons that the Something to Wrestle With podcast connected to racing, you actually sponsored a car yesterday in the Xfinity Series. Ryan Sieg in the 39 team, they had your logo on the car yesterday at Michigan. And, well, chat me up, Conrad. How did you wind up on the side of a Xfinity Series car?
Man, it was pretty random. Apparently, those guys are big listeners to the show and just found me on Twitter, sent me a DM asking if we'd be interested in sponsoring a race car. And I'm like, you don't even know what that entails. Sent me a mock-up and said, we'd just like to put this on our car this weekend and you know, show you guys some love. And so we traded some emails and figured out a way to make it happen. And yeah, Bruce and I were tickled, man. You know, we're both casual racing fans, you know, but the idea that we had our logo on a race car, that's pretty awesome.
It was cool. Ryan had a rough day, a spin out there late in the race, and although it made some great shots. I don't know, we posted a picture on our Facebook page of the car sliding through the grass, so that looked kind of cool. But Ryan coming home in 19th yesterday, but not a bad start. Do you think this will lead to maybe future involvement with the show in motorsports?
Man, you know, there's no telling. If you would have asked me a year ago, would we be doing half the stuff we're doing now, I would have said you were crazy. But somehow, we're doing it. So, I'm not opposed to it. I got to tell you, I saw those pictures. I thought it was cool as hell, and I would love the opportunity to do it a little longer.
Well, the other reason I wanted to bring you on is, first off, for those that have never listened to the show, it's Conrad and Bruce Pritchard, who, if you don't know who he is, he was Brother Love, a character in the WWF in the 80s and 90s. But when he wasn't on TV, he was behind the scenes working right alongside Vince McMahon. So he has got a backlog of stories from the glory days of wrestling, from like the late 80s right through to the late 90s of the Attitude Era, and when wrestling was on top. So there's lots of great stories to tell. And Conrad is amazing at getting Bruce to craft these stories. They tell it in a very interesting way on the podcast. And they do different episodes on wrestlers and events. And one of the wrestlers they carried was covered was Bob Holly. And as I said at the top of the show, when Bob Holly broke into the WWF, his gimmick or character was that of a race car driver. And Conrad, not only did Thurman Sparky plug Bob Holly, not only did he have the character in the ring of a race car driver, he lived the gimmick. He was a race car driver too. It was a great tie-in.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about that. You know, they really did have that crossover, and it wasn't just sort of funny ha-ha or wrestling. It's real life, man. And he got to pursue both of his passions and become a bit of a two-sport athlete. It was a great way to market him too.
And the amazing thing, and you guys mentioned this a little bit on the podcast, is not only was Vince McMahon paying Bob Holly to wrestle, he was funding his racing operation there in the 1990s and spending big bucks to do it.
He absolutely was. And, you know, I think a lot of people sort of look at the XFL and some of the other missteps that Vince McMahon has had professionally and say, you know, oh, this is a guy who doesn't really have any success outside of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
you know, you can't fault the guy for trying. I mean, this is a guy who's tried to have supplement companies and bodybuilding companies and apparently even tried his hand at racing once upon a time. So it's a fun little tie-in for sure.
And Bob, he raced late models down south. He won a track championship at the Mobile International Speedway, ran the Five Flag Speedway, the Snowball Derby, and that of course, Conrad, that's where they also filmed what they call in the business those vignettes when they like to introduce a character. They filmed those right in the middle of a race back in the 1990s, it's cool to go back and watch those vignettes of Bob inside the race car and all that stuff they shot at the Snowball Derby.
It's pretty surreal, you know, to see how wrestling can sort of cross over into everything. I mean, who would have thought?
Yeah. Conrad Thompson joining us here from the Something to Wrestle With podcast. Real quick, just give us the backstory of the show. I mean, you've done a number of these shows. You did a couple with Ric Flair, the legend that he is. You do one now with Eric Bischoff and Tony Schiavone. But how did you get partnered up with Bruce, and how did this all just take off 2 years ago?
You know, it was really just a happy accident. I befriended Ric Flair, and when he had an opportunity to do a podcast with CBS, he asked me to sit in on the first episode and ask fan questions. I did. And at the end of the episode, he dug it, CBS dug it, so they kept asking me to come back, and I did. And when eventually that contract ended, I convinced Rick, hey, let's go independent, man. Let's sort of DIY this thing. And we did, and we created the Ric Flair Show. And along the way, when you're friends with Ric Flair, you meet everybody. At Bruce Pritchard. And Bruce and I became fast friends, and I was able to just pick his brain. And I would say, hey, man, what happened when? And then he would tell me a phenomenal story. And I would, of course, you know, sort of cross-examine him. But what about this and what about that? And one of those times we did that, I looked over and I said, dude, this is a podcast.
Yep.
At the time, the wrestling genre had just become formatted where it's wrestler A talks to wrestler B about their old memories, and it's just an interview format. And I thought, man, that was tough with Rick to come up with a different, interesting guest that you think is going to get downloads 52 times a year. What if we did this instead? And a few weeks later, I was able to sell him on the idea. Once we had some success there, I made a pitch to Tony Schiavone and then Eric Bischoff, and now I find myself with three podcasts. What am I thinking?
The king of the wrestling podcast world. And that's what I like about it. You guys take a topic and then you just sit there and you tell the story like chronologically. And I know you go through like the Wrestling Observer and that history of WWE website that kind of breaks down all the match results throughout the years. You kind of tell, you give the bullet points, but then you go to Bruce and Bruce is able to give that backstory of, well, this is what they said, but here's what really happened.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we're trying to correct the quote-unquote rumor and innuendo. Have a great time doing it. The show comes out for free every Friday at somethingtowrestle.com at noon Eastern. You can also catch Tony Schiavone on Wednesdays now at whwmonday.com. It is on Monday if you're a Patreon subscriber. But the big thing that everybody's talking about right now is 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff, and that one comes out tonight at midnight at 83weeks.com.
And I've listened to the first couple of those. I'm trying to catch up, but the Bash at the Beach one was awesome. And yeah, Eric is just like Bruce. He's full of stories, and he was an even bigger character on the screen, but also huge in running WCW through the Monday Night Wars. But all this podcast stuff, Conrad, has led to a great partnership with the WWE Network, and the Something Else to Wrestle With it is just as good as the podcast, and this has got the added addition of video to go along with it. It makes it even better. Just tell us quickly how you got, obviously I'm sure Bruce helped the connection there with getting you guys on the network.
Well, you know, the WWE sent some feelers out last year, and the surveys went out to subscribers and said, hey, how would you like to have a podcast section on the network? People responded very positively. So they reached out to a lot of shows about what if, and ultimately Vince McMahon decided, hey, if we're going to do it, let's do it with one that we can produce in-house. And the other formats probably lent themselves to a bit of a challenge because you had an interview format. So you'd have to have cameras in different areas, and that other location would be not, it would be a very fluid situation. Bruce and I, we're in the same spot every week. He's a former WWE employee for over 20 years. They had a good relationship. It was an easy fit, especially when he got the huge pop at the 25th anniversary edition of Raw. And we were off to the races. We negotiated a good deal, announced at WrestleMania, and now they drop on Wednesday on the WWE Network.
and those are excellent as well, too. My network subscription has lapsed at the moment, so I haven't caught up. I haven't caught the new one about ECW, but the Mega Powers one, the Million Dollar Man one, the Roddy Piper one are great. And it's added, of course, with the video and the fact that WWE, they dig in their archives for you guys, and they pull out some really interesting footage, especially that Roddy Piper episode. There was some cool stuff with Bruce and Vince and Roddy backstage in there.
Yeah, we've been really excited to be able to showcase some of that because there's so much stuff that really they have no purpose to air. So if they're not going to show it on our show, it just dies forever. Really behind-the-scenes stuff that was never meant to be aired, and there was no purpose for it. But now, since they've sort of greenlit a story time podcast that essentially takes you behind the scenes, we can finally showcase it. And we're really proud of what it looks like today.
Well, not only do you do the show on the network and the podcast, you guys go on the road every now and then, and you're actually headed not far from here to us here in Buffalo. You're going to be in Rochester on July 7th. I really wish I could make this show, but unfortunately, my commitments to local racing, I got to be at the track that night. But for the fans that might be interested, where can they find you in Rochester, and how do they get tickets?
BrucePritchard.com is where you can pick up your tickets. There's no T in his name, but you can have T on your back. We've got T-shirts there as well at BrucePritchard.com. But Comedy at the Carlson is going to be sold out hanging from the rafters on July 7th. WWE's not coming to town, but their big star is Bruce Pritchard, and we're going to bring some stories that we can't tell on the podcast. So if you enjoy our podcast, you're going to love the live show because there are some stories about sex, drugs, and rock and roll that maybe just aren't for mass consumption, but Rochester's going to get them on July 7th. Pick up your tickets now, BrucePritchard.com.
You mentioned the T-shirts and the sayings, and that's one of the things. I just got into the show the last couple of months, so catching up on all the inside jokes, all the doots and the pronouns, pal, it took me a few episodes to kind of to get smartened up to all these inside jokes you guys have on the show.
I mean, that's part of what we're doing. You know, I'm a big Howard Stern fan, and, you know, he's made Baba Booey do a thing, and I want to sort of continue to do that with our show as well.
Well, hey, I think we're about the same age, and I got into wrestling, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s there, you know, Rockers, Ultimate Warrior, the Hogan, WrestleMania 9, that's all in my wheelhouse, and then, you know, right through to the Attitude Era. So, I mean, most of these episodes are right from that time frame, so I am switched on to this. It is a great listen, and that's very cool. Thank you so much for the time this morning. I know you guys are busy, like you said, running long this morning with your recording, but thank you so much for the time. Keep staying involved in motorsports, too. I think it's a great connection, and have a great time with your show in Rochester.
Thanks, man. We appreciate the opportunity to come on. Love to be back anytime.
All right. Conrad Thompson from the Something to Wrestle podcast with Bruce Pritchard. Find it at somethingtowrestle.com. You can find it on youtube.com. That's actually where I discovered it. And if you're a WWE Network subscriber, check that out. You got to listen to the Bob Holly episode if you haven't, just for the racing tie-ins alone. So thank you so much. We're out of time, and we'll be back next week here with more Fast Track on WGR.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.